This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
All right, everybody. Welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb. That's the host, Mike Ryan. I'm the hack. That's the stick. Mike, how are you?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, buddy. We are, those of you who are checking the news, weird things. We are taping this this show here still in the middle of the quarantine. We have no idea by the time this even airs what is going to be happening in the world. So we're doing our best to get through it like everybody, but we figured at this point there's really no reason to not bring in the entertainment and the most sophisticated golf show in the free world, the Stick and Hack Show. So we're going to do it. And we are in a new studio because our other studio is on lockdown and shut down for now. So we're in a new studio. And, you know, for me, I don't know really what I could say that's going to help anybody other than we're here to entertain and to continue doing what we do. We're taking this seriously, obviously, and making sure that we all know the severity of life and the weirdness of life. Yeah. But there's still things that have to be done, which is to make you laugh and at least at some point bring some levity to the situation.
Yeah.
And that's really all that we know how to do. And if we do it well, great. If not, at least you got 39 minutes where you're not yelling at your kids.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, I think, it's just strange.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever been through in my life.
It is.
So,
and it gets weirder every day.
We'll try and keep some semblance of, normalcy and do what we do and hopefully have a little fun.
Right.
And distract ourselves a little bit for a little while.
And which is really the entire point of golf typically is to distract and to get you away from your troubles. So I think it makes sense. It's a nice correlation there. See what I did? I brought it all back together, back specifically to us.
Oh, you're so good.
as I do. So let's talk about our new world of golf then. So at this point, everything has been canceled or moved or postponed or is up in the air.
Yep.
Masters, the I think they did something with the Players Championship. They've done things with about every tournament so far is just up in the air, as the entire sports world is as well. So there's really no golf and there's no sports and there's no anything, at some point. So, when I was putting the show together, we're trying to figure out, okay, what the hell do we even talk about?
Right.
Because we don't have a guest, obviously, because we're trying to keep things at a very minimum here, with the show.
Yeah.
So it's just you and me back to the basics from where we started this thing.
This is
you and I talking to each other,
which
in and of itself is a miracle. Second, is us talking to each other. And
no one even cared who we were then.
No,
or now. But you know.
But you guys get the distinct pleasure of listening to us here for the next 30 minutes. So buckle in.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you're doing at your house, which I can assume you are at your house, and if you're
a lot of e-learning going on.
Oh, good night. If you guys get a chance to do e-learning,
I have no children, so that is
your life's a fantasy camp.
It still kind of is, yeah.
Right. This is affecting.
This isn't
you.
Much different for me, to be honest, from my just everyday.
Right.
Like I think I was built for this.
Right. You are. You've been practicing to be on lockdown and in your home and not talk to people.
I am a social distancing pro.
Years. Yeah.
I have already. I've already been practicing this.
This is my personal hell, as you can probably imagine.
I know. As an extrovert, you're definitely yes.
I like to be out and about.
Yeah.
I like to be with the people, shaking hands, and none of this is happening. So that's our world. So we're just going to continue on and see what we can do. All right. So the Masters should be getting excited for the Masters right about now.
Yep.
Or it should be whenever you're listening to this, it should be
imminent in theory.
And now it's not.
No.
So I figured at some point here, we might as well talk about the Masters. We're not going to talk about what could happen. We're not going to talk about what has happened.
Yeah.
We're just going to talk about the Masters in general and why it is so important to the world. In the sports world specifically, everything obviously in today's society is put in perspective. Like, how important is a golf tournament, right?
Right.
But still, the Masters, when that was postponed, just like March Madness, we're like, okay, well, this is the end of the world here. This is the end of times.
Yeah.
Because it's big money and it's a massive undertaking. So they moved the Masters or canceled it at this point.
I think it's postponed.
Yeah.
We don't even know what that means.
No, we don't know. Yeah, it's probably done.
Yep.
Because them playing it in September, weird.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it's all going to be, this entire year is going to be strange. So Nice.
So flow. Facts about the Masters then, just to get you through as we talk about the Masters. Did you know, Mike, that the famed golf course architect and Augusta designer, Alistair McKenzie, died before the grass had even been planted of Augusta, never playing or even seeing the course in its finished form?
I did not know that.
In an effort to continue the positive trend here of the Stick and Axe show, I figured the first fact would be a death fact.
Alistair McKenzie died before he ever got to see his greatest achievement.
Yeah. How am I doing?
Really bringing up the tone. Everybody. And the vibe. It is what it is. It's fine. I like it though. That's an interesting fact.
Thank you. You know, when I wrote it, I didn't realize that would be the first. I didn't put.
Well,
it in.
I mean, is numbered
right
one
number one.
So
I guess I did.
I mean, how could we have thought of that?
What a bunch of morons. All right. Alistair McKenzie, he died before the grass even planted. So he designed this course, and it's the most famous course in all of the land.
Yeah.
And just imagine that he never got to see that is depressing. And but he brought us the greatest golf course.
I agree.
And as I was researching some of the Masters, facts about Augusta, specifically, in the wartime, in World War II, when they shut down, because this is only the second time the Masters has not been played.
Okay.
The first time was in, this is a bonus fact, by the way.
Oh, I like it. I was looking to see if we had this on the list. Okay.
Bonus fact.
Nice.
Okay. Bonus fact is that this is only the second time the Masters has not been played. The first time was 1943-44 during World War II. And at that time, they didn't want to shut the course down, so they allowed cattle and ranchers and farmers to bring their livestock onto the hollowed grounds of the course to graze.
Feels counterintuitive to me.
I don't know.
I feel like that would destroy it, but I'm sure obviously they got through it.
Right.
But
I don't know. I don't know the thinking behind it. I wasn't in that meeting.
Whatever.
All I know is that's what
you
go. Happened.
You do what you got to do
There's an amazing picture. Well, they wanted to do a lot of things with Augusta that they didn't because they ran out of money. Because at the time, nobody thought that this was going to be anything that is. So the original clubhouse was supposed to be this monstrosity. They were supposed to have two 18s. Listen to this bonus fact. I should have written these down.
Man, you
haven't even we haven't even gotten to the actual facts yet.
I know.
Another bonus fact is that it was supposed to be two 18s.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to have a women's 18 at Augusta as well.
Wow. Yep.
Right. And so then someone's like, no. Let's not.
You would think I would be the fact nerd here, but I'm not. I really am not.
So they went from, hey, let's build an entire course for women to, let's not even let them in.
Yeah.
Let's not even let them in.
Huh.
And do you know who the first female member of Augusta was?
I believe it's Condoleezza Rice.
Nice. There we go.
Yeah, I did know that.
Bonus fact.
Although that was in the last like 10 years, so that's.
Right. 2004 or 5, somewhere in there. I don't know.
I guess it's more than that.
I made that year up. I have absolutely right. I've given you 14 facts in 9 minutes, or 9 seconds. So cut me a break. Fact two. This is official fact two of Augusta and the Masters.
Yep.
Bobby Jones originally petitioned the USGA to host the 1934 U.S. Open, and only after it was rejected did he decide to host his own annual tournament called the Masters.
The Masters. Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah. So he said,
"What if they had accepted it?"
Oh yeah, well we wouldn't have the Masters. We wouldn't have the Masters.
Would we?
No, we'd have the U.S. Open.
It wouldn't be there every year,
right? That's a good point. So it would just be another course.
Maybe, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, would it just have with the women's 18, just like some other amazing course, that,
right?
Like they rotate with.
I think we should do a show.
Interesting.
It is. I think we should do a show that is completely alternate reality. Because this is what I feel like we're in
now. I
mean,
this feels like alternate reality right now. So, I mean, hey, let's just go with that.
What if Tiger was 100th in the world?
Ooh.
Right? And never broke the 100 barrier.
Yeah.
What if Jordan Spieth was...
what if his dad never joined the Green Berets? And then never, like, drill sergeant... I didn't know how you would say that.
how are we making
drill
that into
sergeanted
a
him?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that's a tough word.
That's good. Yeah. This is an alternate reality.
It is.
Because that's typically my deal.
Hey, here we are.
All right, fact three, Masters. This is Stick and Hack Show, by the way, if you're still hanging in there.
they've all turned
it off. Yeah, they said, you know what? Solitude is better than whatever's happening on the show.
Let's go play Scrabble.
Let's go play Scrabble or literally anything else.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll clean right now. All right, fact three. Augusta originally planned to have a 19th hole at the request of Bobby Jones. Mm-hmm. The idea was to have an extra hole so a losing golfer could have another opportunity to win back his money in a game of double or nothing. What do you think about that? A 19th hole.
That's interesting.
Right?
I don't know if I like that idea or not.
So
it's so much. Why didn't you just go off the first hole again? If you really got to do that. I don't know. That's why I didn't go with it.
Chip-offs are popular on the greens after.
I have seen a golf course that has a practice hole. Hmm. Like before you get to the first, like there's a hole that's just.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. Because do they have eight
it's
practice
actually
holes?
It was the home course for the University of Notre Dame at one point up in South Bend.
I don't think that's accurate.
Blackthorn.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Fact number four. In 1937, this is facts about the Masters in Augusta. Sticking next show.
Okay.
Fact four. 1937, members of the club decided, oh, this is my favorite. Everybody calm down and stop what you're doing. And listen to this, okay?
Got it.
I want you to quiet the kids down. Bring them into the family room where I can assume you're watching or listening to this.
Yep.
And here we go. In 1937, members of the club decided to wear green jackets. Excuse me. Let me start that over. In 1937, Mike, members of the club decided to wear green jackets during the tournament so that fans in attendance could easily spot them if they needed to ask questions.
Yep.
As ushers or as attendees. So like, hey, ask me buttons, right?
It's kind of amazing what it turned into, though.
Well, I'm not there yet. Spoiler alert.
Oh yeah, it's such a spoiler. No one knew.
This is a fact four of Augusta and the Masters. Members decided to wear green jackets in attendance so they could easily spot them. The next year, they gave it away as a prize for winning. So now the
congratulations, you get to be an usher.
they didn't have any money back then. Here's $100 and you get to work the tournament next year.
I like it.
So the green jacket came from the usher.
You know they don't allow, I don't know if you, this is another fact.
Bonus fact, everybody.
Not on bonus fact. Bonus fact. They do not allow them to take their jackets from the club?
Oh, really? Yeah, no, that's not true.
The champion of that year, they let him
for
the year, and then you have to put it back in your locker at the Masters.
And you can never wear it again?
You can wear it, but only while you're there, I believe.
Yeah,
I know it's supposed to be kept there on site.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually, I can see that because they can wear it. It's kind of like the hockey trophy, the Lombardi Cup. The Lombardi Trophy.
Stanley Cup.
No, what's it called? Stanley Cup. No, it's Stanley Cup. And it doesn't have another name. No, it doesn't. Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley's Cup.
Oh, that's that's where I was going.
There you go.
What the hell am I thinking of? Isn't there all right, never what? Mind. This Why? Show sucks.
I think it's because you suck, but
I don't think it's. It might be. You know, honest to God, it might be. Fact five. As we continue here, the first up, Masters was the first tournament to host a 72-hole competition over 4 days. It was the first to have room to park thousands of cars. It was the first to offer free daily pairing sheets instead of a program. It was the first tournament to be covered nationwide on radio, and it was the first to use bleachers. Also, it was the first to use rope galleries and the first to use private detectives to handle ticket sales and security.
Private detectives? For ticket sales?
That might be it.
That might be strange.
Might be a misprint. What the hell?
Ticket sales?
I think it's private. Really? I think it was private security. I don't know what that is. Whatever. I don't know where that came from. Forget that one.
Carmen rope San galleries. Diego? Is that who they hire?
Holy shit. All right. It developed the first on-course scoreboard as well.
Okay.
And it was the first to use the over-under par system we generally use today.
That's weird. I'm surprised that was where that came from.
All right. So I'm gonna repeat a couple of those because they bear repeating. Mm-hmm. They were the first to use bleachers, first to have free parking, and they were the first to use the over-under par system that we now use today on tournaments.
Okay.
And they were the first tournament covered in radio. How about that, Mike?
I like that.
Look at all those facts.
That's really good. That's some quality time wasting for people. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they are completely entertained now.
Yeah, and they're going to look it up to see if it's
they
accurate.
That's the other problem with this. We are actually going to have to fact check this stuff.
Now. Why?
Well, because the three people that watch this are now going to actually have time to go look
right.
that up.
Oh yeah, you're right. Now they have the time.
Yes,
and they're going to write in and they're going to say, "Hey,
that's morons,
that's not true." And I'm going, "Well, I don't know.
Sorry.
Yeah, don't listen then." All right, so that's the facts about the Masters. Hope you guys enjoyed that. All right, now we move into the conversation. So this is, you know, Mike, typically if we have a guest here, we ask them a bunch of questions. Sure. We get to know them. We understand what they're doing and their deals.
Right.
Here, I think the best thing for us to do, because in the world today that we live in, everyone's asking what is happening and why. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what is next? What is happening? Why is it happening? Why? What can we do? Why is this happening? All that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask each other the what and why. Okay.
Okay.
In this conversation. And I think at this point, people are going to get to know us a little bit better. And I think for our friendship, and I use that term loosely, it's good for us to know each other a little bit better. Right. Uh-huh. All right. So, first question out of the gate here, what is wrong with golf, Mike, in your opinion?
What is wrong with golf? I think accessibility. That's the biggest problem with golf.
In what way? As far as getting to a course? Or?
I think probably financially.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest thing that they need to work on to bring more people in my opinion. I don't know the answer to it, but I think it's probably one of the things that they need to work on in golf.
And
personally,
because the greens fee are too expensive, because clubs, because just
everything.
Just the,
it's just the combination of everything. There are a lot of people that just aren't interested in it for the financial aspect of it. They just feel like it's just more than
they could go to a tennis court for free.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
I think one of the solutions to it is and I know this isn't an easy answer, but if there were more, public golf courses. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are enough, in my opinion.
No.
There are some, and they're not. But I just feel like they're kind of few and far between. There are definitely a lot of areas that they just don't have, like, a place where they can just go play.
What is another barrier? Do you think that the difficulty of the game?
Yeah, I think it's intimidating. I think there are some inherent cultural things about how golf has been managed, I think, that makes it intimidating to people sometimes.
Does it feel uppity? Does it feel
I think that's part privileged? Of it. I don't know. I don't want to say uppity. There are a lot of I've seen throughout my life and just my, you know, being in golf and around golf that there are folks that I feel like they don't make people feel welcome.
Yeah.
Like, if you walk into a pro shop, like, I feel like the first thing that the pro or anybody there should do is be like, hey, how you doing? How can we help you?
It should feel like a Chick-fil-A.
There are golf courses I go to where I walk in the pro shop and I feel like I'm, like,
right.
And I'm a good player and I've played my entire life
right.
where I have felt like I'm unwelcome.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Huh.
Absolutely. I would be shocked if most haven't ever had that happen to them.
Yeah.
And almost like, I say that, and there's no one really for me to call out.
Let's do that right now. What are their names? Let's get them.
That's not the point of it.
Can we tag them on Instagram?
It's just in general. I think there are times that, it can be unwelcoming sometimes.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Next.
This is mine.
Right.
I have to ask you this, don't I?
Correct. Okay. That's what we rehearsed.
So, Adam, what's right with golf?
What's right with golf? You know, I think the number one thing that's right with golf is the camaraderie and the friendships and the ability to really get to know somebody, in a time span that you don't typically have with a person and you're enjoying it. If you said, hey, let's spend 4 hours together, I would say you're out of your mind.
Right.
Absolutely not. No chance.
Right.
Can't think of anything I want to do less than spend 4 hours with anybody, let alone a complete stranger or somebody I see casually. But on the golf course, it's very different. It's that you're out there together. You're talking in a very breezy and you know, non-confrontational tone. You're just talking. You're just playing golf, and then it's over. And then you don't see that person again for weeks or months or whatever. But a lot of times, I've met great people on the course and become friends with them, started companies with them. There's times where that was you.
Oh, is
yep,
it? Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Cool. Not in that order.
Right.
Obviously. but then from a business perspective, you know, there's nothing that's more disarming than the golf course.
Yeah.
Because they're out there and it's just a hobby and and the serenity of the game. So, I mean, for me, that's what's right with golf. It has nothing to do with the actual play. It has nothing to do with the actual sport itself. It has everything to do with the social aspect. The same reason I liked I liked school was because of the social aspect. I didn't care about anything else.
Right.
I only liked going there to be around people and you know, have that camaraderie.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, you know, all the people I've met through golf and just in my life, it's one of those things. You go out there and you play with somebody for a few hours and you just can learn a lot about somebody.
Yeah.
Not just from conversation, but just,
how they handle things,
mm-hmm. how they, approach the game, that type of thing.
Right.
I think it unveils a lot of things that you wouldn't otherwise.
And I think that's one of the barriers that needs to be, taken down too in golf is that, nobody wants to play with anybody else. So there's always that moment, right, where you're on hole two or three and you see a single coming up behind you. Like, oh, my God, I don't want to play with this. You know, no, just let him through. We don't want to. But really, it should be like, hey, join us.
Yeah.
Like, sit down with us at our table.
Yep.
If you saw somebody eating by themselves next to you at a restaurant, and this isn't social norms, but wouldn't it be cool? Hey, why don't you join us here? Let's get to know you, right, and enjoy a dinner. There needs to be more of that because then you're going to go out and play golf because you want to meet other people, because you want to have an experience that's outside of just hitting the ball and then going home.
And that's one of those things that I also feel like the idea of being more welcoming.
Right.
And not just with if you're playing, but
golf
just
in
from
general.
The start, from the minute you get to a golf course,
right.
I feel like it should – you want it to be welcoming and you want people to feel like they're
important
and involved, and like you want to make sure that they have a good time.
Well, I've said it before. It's just like when you go to a Marriott or a Hyatt or something like that, and they're like, hey, you're a valued member. Here's a special line for you.
Yep.
Okay. I've stayed three nights and I signed up for an email list. Apparently I'm a valued member, but I feel it. And then they give me two bottles of water and now I'm the happiest person in America.
Yeah, I like
two free bottles of water.
For sure.
All right. What's wrong with most golf? By the way, we're asking each other what and why.
Yeah.
What is wrong with most golf instruction or tips?
Oh God, this can run the gamut, but I would say probably the most annoying thing is they're overly complex.
Yeah. It's like a math assignment every single time. Geometry.
Yeah. I feel like there are a lot of golf teachers that are way too focused on some of the technical aspects of the swing and not focus enough on the fundamentals of the swing, which in my opinion,
aren't really those the same thing?
No, not in my opinion.
Explain that.
There are basic things about the golf swing, about the grip. I mean, really everything starts with the grip. I feel like there's so many, instructors out there that are just, they're so focused on, swing speed, and they're worried about angle,
supination,
and
right? That's a word.
Supination,
honest to God,
and pronation.
What
and
the hell? Somebody say that to me. They're like, "Hey, what's, are you a? Do you
they use too
supinate?
Many technical terms? Yeah,
pronate?
They use too many technical terms.
No idea.
That most people
absolutely
that
no
they're going to be giving lessons to,
leave me alone.
Just don't really. Yeah, they
sorry,
don't.
I'm,
really
I'm
get,
still. I'm still.
You are.
Well, I'm talking to the instructor.
That
that's
was
like
a guttural.
Oh my God! I mean, I don't know. And the swing plane and the, you know,
yeah,
stay,
I think
oh my
I,
God.
There, you can start to talk about those things at some point with people. But like when I see somebody put out a YouTube video and they're talking about, you know, rotating your hips in the right angle and making sure that your arm is at the right angle and that type, they start to talk about too many things at once.
Right.
And I feel like the best instruction that I've ever received and or has been the most helpful for me in the game is when you keep it simple and you just are focusing on we just worry about this one thing.
Right. And that's right what now. Chelsea Day, Dr. Chelsea Day, who was on our show earlier in the in last year, said the same thing. Just focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And you gave me advice. You said something like fire your hips. And that's advice I can handle because I understand what that means. If you said rotate your hips with it
at a 30-degree angle.
Yeah, after impact to make sure that your belt buckle is pointing towards the target and you fire your hips, then that's it. That's the tip that you take away from that.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. The golf instruction is too technical. And those that are giving you those instructions have this air about them that makes me want to punch them in the throat. But luckily, I have to be 6 feet away from somebody right now, so
right.
I will not be able
you
to
can't
do
even
that.
Reach them.
All right, your turn.
Why is golf so difficult for you?
Who said it is?
I just did.
Golf is difficult for me because it doesn't matter how often I play, what sure. equipment I use,
yep.
where I play.
Yep.
The game is always the same. It doesn't matter if I redo my grip. It doesn't matter anything. I have played the same game for 28 years, honest to God. And I haven't gotten any better or any worse. It's just what it is. And so it's difficult for me to accept that this is as good as I will ever be.
Yeah.
And as good as I ever really want to be. Because, I mean, what, you know, what does it matter? Really?
Sure.
And in these times, it matters even less than it did before.
Well, absolutely.
But it just doesn't matter to me. And it used to, and it used to really upset me because yeah. I didn't understand how you can do something over and over and over again.
And not get better.
And not get any better. Literally not get any better. And
do you really practice?
No.
Then that's why you don't get any better.
I don't anymore because I wasn't getting any better. It wasn't working. Maybe you're not hearing me. Mike?
Where were you practicing?
Just in my garage.
When? Like how long ago?
I'm sorry.
Like when was like how long ago was it before you practiced? Or the last time you like really like, I'm going to practice. I'm going to get better. You know, yeah. This is my year.
Right. 3 years ago.
If any of you haven't seen it, we have a video out on YouTube. Right. It's the Diary of a Golfer.
So
video diary.
Video diary of a golfer who yeah. promised himself he was going to play more golf. And then I don't yeah. want to spoil it. So yeah. you have to watch it.
So when did you, when was that your year?
I always say I'm going to play more golf. I always yeah. want to play more golf. It's just, how do I want to get better? And do I really care? Okay. I bought my first new set of clubs last year for the first time in 20 years.
Ooh.
Where like yeah. new set.
Yeah.
You know, not the.
I felt like you played well last year.
I did okay. It wasn't great. I did fine. I did exactly as I always have. with glimmers of hope every now and then. Man. All right. Why? This is for you, Mike, specifically. Why do good golfers, sticks as they are, seem to have it all together on the course and when they're playing? They just seem to have it all together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I would caution you that they probably don't all the time. They just are better at hiding it.
Okay. That's interesting. So it's like a family member that seems to always be busy and you know, multiple yeah. companies or multiple things, and they always just seem to have it together. Yeah. Inside,
yeah.
they're a wreck. But yeah. outwardly, they're like, yeah, this is cool. I'm cool as the other side of the pillow,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
But you think, so you internally are struggling yeah. on the course the same as everybody else. You're just not.
I don't show it.
Right. But is that more personality, or is that of you specifically, or is that the good golfer? Because most golfers
some of it may be personality. I mean, I'm sure there's some good golfers that, you know, they.
But it's infuriating.
They show it on their sleeve, but I kind of.
It's infuriating to watch a good golfer who will miss a putt and not really react. Because I'm like, how can you not react to
that? I'll react sometimes.
Okay, your reaction is muted at that's
true.
Best.
That's true. I don't flail.
Right. You don't quit the game. And
I'll quit the game.
Sell your clubs right there on hole 13 to the first
I've had my
first
moments, bitter. But yeah, for the most part, yeah, I keep it together.
All right, your turn.
All right, well. I wonder if you'll know this or not. I'll be interested to see. What is a stimp meter, Adam?
I do know this because, the stimp meter, which I thought was always called stint meter until just recently. Okay. And by recently, I mean about 12 seconds ago.
Okay.
The stimp meter is the speed of the greens.
Okay.
So when you go to a course and they're like, hey, what's the stimp meter running these days? And so yeah. it's like, oh, it's a 13. Yeah. Running a 13 on the stimp.
Yeah.
I'm like, so does that mean that it's good? Or
yeah.
bad,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's what I know about stimp.
You know how they calculate that.
I would assume they're looking at a lot of different
Don't lie to us.
I would assume that they look at a lot of different variations of the green and the slope and the things that are happening. No, I don't. How's
just
that?
Just say that.
I said it. You're very condescending. I can help. I'm going to educate you.
Our viewers and listeners, please.
It's
literally just a board that they hold at an angle that's 12 inches above the green, and then they just drop the ball and it rolls, and then they measure it from.
No, that's not true.
That is absolutely how it works.
That's the dumbest thing.
They measure from there to where it stops.
It's no more scientific than however many inches that is. Some guy named Gerald out there just like, oh, let's roll the ball down the board there, and then we'll measure it. And
yep.
Oh, that's where it is.
Yep.
It's impossible. Do they have an impossible?
It's very simple
length. So it has nothing to do with the size of the grass, the mowed grass. They double cut it and double roll it.
No.
All right.
Nope.
I think someone put that in there.
It's very simple.
All right. Well, it is now.
Well, it's extremely simple. I'm trying to help.
So it's basically the speed of the green. Correct. Yeah. That's what it's based on.
It's the speed of the green, yes, but it's literally this. The measurement is quite simple, actually.
The measurement is just a guy rolling the ball.
They have a board that they put on an angle. They roll the ball down, however far it runs.
I love it.
That's the number.
That's the best.
Yep.
All right. Why do you not celebrate? We're asking each other what and why. Why do you not celebrate after a big win?
Untrue.
I would disagree. I've seen you roll a 40-footer in front of 100 people for some Labor Day tournament and walk up, get your ball, and then literally just go home.
Well, that's not where I, like, that's...
That's not where you celebrate? You celebrate by yourself?
After the fact. Later.
That's the worst.
Later.
You are the world's biggest introvert. So you'll celebrate, like, you'll just run around your house going, yeah!
Well, no, I never do that.
You should do that.
We'll video it.
No, I guarantee that's what he does. He keeps it all together here, and then he goes home, and he just loses his mind.
I go find a revolving door, and I do like Buddy the Elf, and I just go running.
Yeah. All right. I've never seen you celebrate anything around golf. I mean, so
you don't stick around long enough. That's the problem.
Well, celebrating is having beers with your buddies is one thing. I'm saying that initial celebration of the pumped up, like, okay. I can't believe what I just did.
Well, you know, part of that I think has to do with the fact that I'm pretty, I played enough competitive golf to know that you got to like wait until you like turn it in to know that you actually won.
Yeah, right. I guess so. I guess. Because for me, if I'm within.
Yeah, if yes.
I've never really been in the position to even celebrate. I've celebrated not being last.
Have you gotten a hole in one before?
No, never.
Neither have I.
No, never in my life. I've seen a bunch.
It's incredible. I've never had one.
I've seen a bunch, and then you're supposed to be excited for that person. I'm actually not. I'm like, yeah, okay.
I very much am, like,
I'm annoyed with them, actually.
Yeah, I'm torn by it.
And then they'll go, oh, that's my second one. Really?
I should be joyful.
I'm not. I know. I don't like it when good things happen to other people.
I try, but
it's just how I feel.
I haven't had one, so I'm just.
Yeah. So just deal with it. All right. Last question. This is you to me, I think. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why do you get nervous in front of people when you play? I don't understand it.
Who says I do? You're right.
Yeah.
Piss myself.
Don't lie to me.
if there's more than my foursome watching me play, I don't know. It's mind boggling. I don't get nervous talking in front of people.
Yeah.
I don't get nervous, in most social circumstances.
Sure.
But playing golf, I can't hit the ball. It is
a focus.
Oh my God. In my mind, I'm only seeing everybody look at me.
Yeah.
And I, in my head, I'm thinking they're wishing for me to miss the ball. That's what they want. That's the prime outcome for them.
Hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but they are.
Right. I know. And I know that. I know that. I was in a pro-am.
Especially me.
I was in a pro-am one time, and there was, I don't know, 30 or 50 people around this first tee.
Right.
And it was as nerve-wracking a moment of my life. I mean, including like having kids and getting married and everything that are big moments in life, I handled pretty well, except for that. Yep. And I mean, I hit the ball maybe 100 yards, maybe. And then you're like, oh, that never happens.
That's unfortunate. That never happens. That's just a self-fulfilling prophecy at that point.
It is. I know. And then that's all I can think about.
Yeah.
All right. We move into the clubhouse. So thank you for bringing that up.
That was great.
Yeah. That was good talk. That was good talk.
Good interview.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. We move into the clubhouse here. Because this world is so strange right now and crazy, we're just kind of working through things as they happen. So I figured the best thing for us to do is play a game called Off the Cuff.
Ooh.
All right. So this is designed to whatever happens and comes into our head as... Okay. these topics come up, okay?
Okay.
Off the cuff. You cannot practice.
So what is this? We're like impersonating? What are we doing? What's happening here?
Well, it's off the cuff. More. I don't know.
All right.
You tell me.
I think we're impersonating.
All right. So we'll impersonate some scenes here.
Sure.
All right. So let's I'm going to start with you. Why don't you impersonate the advice giver?
Hey hey buddy. you want a little advice? I mean, no. I'm not trying to like butt in on your thing here, but there's like one little thing. If you just did this, I think it would help you immensely.
Yeah, that's you the like advice. That's the advice giver.
That's the advice giver.
That's the advice giver. And the advice giver always will say then, but you know, just for what it's worth.
I mean, whatever.
You know,
I mean, take it as you will.
Yeah. If you don't want to get better,
you have to listen to what I'm saying. Right. It's
what hard. Do I know?
What do I? Yeah, I know.
What do I know?
Whatever.
The advice
I
giver.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good. Are you congratulating yourself?
I am.
You'll celebrate
Thank
that.
You. I will.
But you won't celebrate a golf victory?
Well, that's not a surprise to me.
No, it's not. Oh, geez. Look at that.
Me, everybody. My ability to be entertaining is extremely surprising.
I couldn't agree more. All right. So now let's do, this is off the cuff.
Yep.
Sports reporter with the after round interview. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
Oh, you want to do it?
No, you
got excited.
No, you can do it.
All right. So you be the.
You want to be the golfer?
You be the golfer. Okay. After the round.
Probably better suited to this role.
Right.
Anyway.
And I'll be I'll be the interviewer. Okay. That's very funny.
Thank you.
For those of you who caught that,
I'll be here all week.
Mike is entertaining today.
Thank you.
Finally. All right. So sports reporter after a round interview.
Okay.
All right, so Mike, obviously you had a great round out there. Tell us a little bit about what you were feeling as you came into the 18th there. A lot of pressure. How did you handle that?
Yeah, you know, I felt I played pretty solid. Had good ball striking out there today. Putting was okay, but felt like I took it one shot at a time. And you know, we got through the round.
Tell us a little bit about the hole 11.
Yeah,
take
11.
A shot by shot if you would.
Yeah, what'd you
use?
Yeah, 11 hit a little draw off the tee there.
Oh god.
Had about exactly. 130 left.
Right.
I had a little kind of punch wedge.
trap draw punch wedge.
Yeah.
I'm already bored. I'm
hit
already
it in
bored.
There. You know,
all right,
about
back
10
to you,
feet.
Johnny.
God, I hate you.
All right, that's off the cuff. Conversation with an overzealous starter. So this is a real life example.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got this?
I got this.
You got this. All right.
Okay. Yep. Hey, guys. Hey, you excited to play some golf today? Hey, just a quick reminder here. We on 5 and 10, we're going to be cart paths only.
Yeah.
And just make sure you're not running through those bunkers, you know? Beautiful day, though, huh?
Yeah. I've played golf for 35 years. I know how to get my way around.
Yeah, no, just wanted to make sure you know. And if you need a pencil, you need a scorecard, you need anything?
No.
All
I need
right.
you to go away.
All right. Well, do you have your receipt? I do need that receipt to showcase that you paid 5 seconds ago when I watched you walk out of the clubhouse.
Yeah, here's my receipt. Take it.
So
get out of my face.
But hold on a second. This is very exciting because earlier you were talking about how welcoming and warming you wanted golf to be. This guy is coming out of a Chili's.
Yeah, he is.
And with all of his flair and ready to rock and roll.
No, he's perfect for the guy who's never played. That's perfect. That is amazing. It's incredible.
Okay, hey, guys.
I've played for 35 years. I don't care.
Right. You need that receipt, don't you?
Yeah.
Guy, you just watched me walk in and walk out. And you need the receipt?
I love it.
I don't need a I need a receipt at Costco
cannot,
at personal clubs.
You got to watch after those guys sneaking on, man.
All right. I think we got our last one here. This is off the cuff. Mike and Adam impersonate each other. All right. Who wants to go first? It's Mike and Adam impersonating each other.
You go first.
Okay. Well, that's pretty simple. Pretty excited. I feel pretty good about everything. You know, in my opinion, for me, I think it's golf is not the, it's just, you know, for me personally, in my opinion.
It's starting to sound like Tiger.
Kind starting of. To sound like Tiger or Shaquille.
Yeah, I like that.
At one point you fell asleep with your own answer. For those of you not watching at home.
Yeah.
All right, now your turn.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Mike's impression of me.
Here we go. Hey everybody, welcome in Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, the Hack, Adam. That's your host, Mike, the Stick. Mike, how you doing? Yeah?
Yeah, pretty good.
I like it.
Pretty good. Not the best. Oh, that's... You want to do this part as me?
No. I'm terrible at this. Go to stickandhack.com, read the stories of golf, and join in the greatest golf club in the world without the course. Also, sign up for our members meeting in September 18th and 19th in Indianapolis, where there will be drinking, eating, golf in the Brickyard, and amazing speakers and prizes. Great show, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. Peace out. Stick and Act program. Thanks, everybody. Have a great time. Stay safe. Keep your family healthy. Appreciate you coming in here just for a little bit for us and getting away from the stresses of the world. Stickandact.com. Become a member today.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Peace out.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.